Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, with Adam Vingan here on a Thursday afternoon. And joining us from what I assume is a frigid Ford Ice Center Bellevue, where we will all be tomorrow, chasing Big Joe as well. Derek, make sure you pack your parka.
Although at the Ford Ice Center in Bellevue, we are in a better strategic location. Unlike Centennial, where we are right next to the rink in the elements, we are in a room, I believe, if it's where we were last year, where we will have better temperature control. Yeah.
So I don't have to wear, like, layers or bring a blanket.
Or bring the electric heated blanket.
Well, let's ask Max Herz of the Predators Radio Network. Max, are you bundled up today?
No, it's pretty good in here. I think you guys will be comfortable, especially at the Terry Crisp ice rink. Crispy keeps it nice and warm for us. So Centennial, definitely much colder.
Yes, absolutely. So, Max, we were just talking about Roman Josi saying that the expectation is that he will be paired with Brady Shea. The other interesting news out of Predators training camp, their first official practice of the season, not really a surprise, but still interesting to see it nonetheless, that Tommy Novak is getting a crack at second line center with Steven Stamkos and Jonathan Marchessault. Based on what you saw at practice and what Stamkos and I assume Novak also spoke after practice, what did everybody involved say about that potential second line?
Novak did not speak to the media, but Marchessault and Stamkos both did and were both extremely complimentary of Novak from the few times they've skated with him leading up into this first formal day. Marchessault's words were that he places the puck exactly where you want it, and then that is a gift that most forwards in the NHL don't have. And Stamkos said the same thing. He likes to pass, and as someone who likes to shoot, that's someone I want to play with. So those two shooting wingers are viewing Novak as a distributor in that situation. And I thought Novak looked good today. He looked like his best self, to be sure, and he was so excited to skate with the two big free agents that in a three-on-two drill, he skated forehead first right into the crossbar and knocked himself out for a little. So he was wound up for sure, but everybody seemed happy, and he was okay. He sat out a couple rounds and came right back in.
I was about to ask, is Novak okay?
Goodness.
You just kind of slid that in there.
Yeah.
It was great. He ran headfirst into the post, but everything's fine.
Yeah, he was down for a moment, but returned shortly after.
So it's not like the Eagles fan. Remember the Eagles fan, after they won the Super Bowl, he was running alongside of the subway, and he ran into the pole?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, he had Novak.
A little different.
I was thinking Gus Frerotte headbutting the end zone and, like, hurting his neck.
Oh, goodness, that was bad. So the Giants stadium.
He took the phrase, I run through a wall, literally. But he's trying to run through the goalposts for the coach. So there we go.
He was very excited for his new line mates. Exactly.
Well, Stamkos and Marchessault, I mean, that's high praise because those are two very accomplished players. And Steven Stamkos has spent a lot of time playing with the likes of Braden Point at center. And Marchessault spent a lot of time over the past couple of years playing with Jack Eichel at center in Vegas. So they know a thing or two about good centers. So that's high praise for Tommy Novak. Barry Trotz addressed reporters this morning before practice started. What was Barry's message about this team this season? Because at this time last year, he was preaching patience. He was talking about how the playoffs were not a foregone conclusion. But after what the Predators were able to accomplish last season and all of the moves they've made in free agency, I anticipate his message was a little bit different.
Yeah, and this main point was underscored by a couple of the Preds' returning leaders in Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg in their interview sessions. Trotz came right out at the beginning of his press conference and said, yes, we're better on paper, but right now that's fantasy hockey, and being better on paper doesn't mean anything until they become a good team together in their current form. And as I said, Forsberg and Josi both cited that, saying, we're good on paper. It's time to make sure that we get to the point where we need to be good in real life. But I think it's a good way to describe it because, I mean, the way the Preds have put these guys together, it is kind of like a fantasy team. I mean, you've got your core one top guy at each position, and then you bring in these incredible free agents that we're just getting used to seeing in Preds colors for the first time. And for us, and I'm sure for the team too, it's like, oh my God, they're out here. Like, Steven Stamkos, John Marchessault, and Brady Shea are on the Preds, and everybody else is back, which is an incredible feeling. But Trotz laid it out that way to the team. He said, this is what I told the team. We look better on paper. It doesn't mean anything until we prove that we are good in our new current form.
Well, he's right about that, Max. You can put together, and he could look great on paper, but then ultimately you got to start playing games, and that will decide whether this team has made improvements or not. Now, you talked about the second line and Novak running into the net and momentarily, you know, knocking himself out. If, you know, and I'm glad he's okay. But what did you see from the other lines? Obviously, the first line hasn't been changed. It was good last year. They expect it to be good again. But what did you see from the other lines?
Yeah, so top line was still together. Obviously, I mean, it's September 19th. There's a long way to go here. But top line was unchanged, Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist. And that personally was not a surprise to me. I think you know what you have there, so there's no reason to pull it apart yet unless something happening somewhere else necessitates that. So I think that's a pretty logical starting place for sure. The other line that included NHLers that we've seen so far was Yusuf Arsenin centering Mark Jankowski and Joachim Kimmel. That was in the second group. And the third group is out on the ice right now. And there'll be two more lines consisting of NHLers that are in this group. They have not yet done any line drills, but there will be two lines based on who's out there in jersey color. That will include these six guys: Luke Evangelista, Phil Tomasino, Colton Sissons, Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Zach LaRue. So you'll get two more lines out of those six, and there will be five forward lines after that that include NHLers. And those are the 15 forwards that I think are most likely to make the roster. So I think they've got the right group of 15. They'll start moving it around a little bit. And if they do any line drills while I'm still on the phone with you guys, I'll let you know what those combinations are. But I think a good starting point. Obviously, everything will change. They have the preseason doubleheader on Sunday, then four more preseason games after that, an intra-squad scrimmage. They'll start scrimmaging each other on the ice tomorrow here as well. So we'll start to see who gets to play with who, and I imagine they'll mess around with some things. But that's what we got so far.
Now, we know what the news would have been or what would have been had Askarov come into camp. We know all eyes would have been fixed on Askarov, and, you know, we would have known whether he would have been a guy that needed to have a tremendous camp, because everyone would have been eyes on him, whether he was going to come up to the NHL or whether he's going to be sent back down to Milwaukee. Now that Askarov is gone, which one of these guys need to have a great camp? Which one of these guys' eyes are going to be all on? Which one of these young guys?
My brain and my eyes move to forward. I think you want to see big camps from the two guys who got sent down at the end of last year, which is Phil Tomasino and Yusuf Parsonen. You need those guys to really show that they belong, that's for sure. And both of them have looked good so far today. And obviously Tomasino just got his contract done yesterday, so he knew he'd be back. But good for those guys to have their RFA signings and that business taken care of and be back and just be able to focus on making the team out of camp again. And then you have the three forwards who are going to push for the roster spots. Zach LaRue, I think, is a big one who has a shot, potentially as a bottom six guy or a fourth line guy to make the team out of camp. Joachim Kimmel has that scoring touch. He looked good in the rookie camp. He looked good today. He's playing with his countryman and friend Yusuf Arsenin. So I think if those guys can show chemistry together, that can be something mutually beneficial for both of them. And then the last forward would be Fedor Svechkov, who was not on any of the lines I mentioned earlier. He was playing with two fringe roster guys who are likely AHLers in Vinny Hinostroza and Kiefer Bellows, but they love him as an option at center, too, and they want him to show his best here in camp. So I think the big competition is at forward, so that's why I go to that group. On D, there was also a roster note today. Spencer Stastny is not here. They said that's due to personal matters, and they would not be having any further comment at this time. So Stastny is not here. That we don't know if and when he will be back, but that makes Dante Fabra a very clear six, and he's out here with Luke Shen right now. So that's presumably pair number three for the Predators to start camp. But does that open things up for someone on defense? And the guy I would think of immediately is Tanner Molendijk, with the side of Andrew Gibson, too, who both those guys either have to stay with the big club and they can do so for 9 games and go back to junior, or just go straight back to junior. Those two guys cannot go to Milwaukee because they're still both 19 years old. So, I think Molendijk, just as a big prospect, would have a lot of eyes on it no matter what. But another left defenseman not being here certainly makes you think.
Yeah, Molendijk turned a lot of heads last year as an 18-year-old, so that's a guy to watch without a doubt. Max Hurst is with us from the Predator Radio Network. And, Max, happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Max. Nice.
Birthday wishes.
Thank you. I was very disappointed to not be on celebrity birthdays today. I feel like there's not that I'm a celebrity.
What?
But I feel like
Nick,
seriously?
Talk to Joe.
I'm going to have to talk to Joe about this. He's the guy in charge of the list. So,
Max is a celebrity. Absolutely.
I am not a celebrity.
Yeah,
but
you are,
thank
Max.
You, Dave.
Yeah, you are.
So, Max, another area that I think people will watch in the aftermath of the Askarov trade is, and Predator fans, I would have to say, are probably spoiled through the long haul, that there are not a lot of years where they have had to juggle 3 or 4 goalies, which can happen in a season. But goalie depth is important. In the last couple of years, Askarov has clearly been the number 3, and he has been, everybody's sort of waited, when is he going to get a shot? Now the number 3 job is sort of up for grabs behind Scott Wedgwood. So break down the two guys that you think are most likely to try to grab that role or competing for that role.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for the AHL team, because before the Askarov trade, they had already made a move for Matt Murray, the other Matt Murray, not the Matt Murray who played against the Predators in the Stanley Cup Final. There are two goalies named Matt Murray. This one was on the Stars. He played college hockey at UMass. He's definitely an AHL guy. So they had signed him presumably to be the number 4, but then Askarov gets traded away. They get a goalie in return in Magnus Crona, who prospect-wise is not as highly ranked of a prospect, but is similar in age and development to Askarov. So I would give the edge to Crona. He played some NHL games by necessity last year for the Sharks, including one against the Preds, and he was on an absurdly awful team. So I don't think you could take anything out of those numbers. But the positive is he has AHL experience. He's really, really big, and he plays big. He's 6'6" on a good day, he said last week. But he looks good. He looks really athletic. He looks good in the rookie camp. He looked good today. So I would say Crona is a pretty heavy favorite for number 3, but they're in a good spot with those guys. And if they do choose to keep a 5th goalie in the pro ranks and send them to Atlanta in the ECHL, they've got depth all the way down, and they've got Mitch Kornback, the founder of the Preds goalie department, who's now overseeing everybody. He's on the ice here this week. Pecorine is on the ice coaching them up. So they've got the depth that you would expect, Willie, and they're in the hands of the people.
Yeah, give those guys a chance. They usually can bring out the best of those guys. Max, I remember when the Predators brought in Paul Kariya years ago, and then a little bit later they traded for Peter Forsberg. And it was just interesting to me as sort of a younger person watching the sport who hadn't covered it for very long. When you see a superstar like that come in, the presence that they have, I'm wondering what you saw with Stamkos and to some extent Marchessault as well, but especially a bona fide Hall of Famer superstar like Stamkos. When he took the podium today, could you sense that presence?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he said that he was having the time of his life today. As someone who's never switched teams before, he said he got some butterflies that he hadn't had since 2008 when he made his NHL debut and came to the Lightning for the first time. So I think he's as excited to be here as everyone else is to have him here. And the players on this team who are younger than him, like, they've watched this guy their entire lives. They idolize him. So it's unbelievable. And interviewing Joachim Kimmel at the rookie tournament last week, he said that Stamkos, along with Alex Ovechkin, are his two NHL idols. And that makes sense the way he plays. Right shot, one-timer, hard slap shot. Those are his guys for a reason. And he said he got to skate with Stamkos a few times in the informal skates once he got here, and that he was shaking and nervous when he met him. So I think these guys command respect. Obviously, their names are on the cup, so I think they're huge ads. And on the Marchessault front, I think there's a chance that he's the best shooter in team history. He looks unbelievable.
That is a lofty
you heard it here.
Place. That a lofty pedestal, I should say, that Max Hurich is placing.
Hal Gill might take issue. He's like, did you not see Skillsy firing those one-timers back in the day?
I think we're in the clear on that one.
Max Hurich from the Predators radio network.
He did have one goal as a Pred.
He did. Which is more than I can say. So
he had zero.
He did not have one goal. I thought he had one for the Preds.
No, you're thinking of C-Mace.
C-Mace did have one for the Preds. You're saying he had one more than Hal. That's right. I forgot. Oh, I thought they were tied. I thought they each had one.
So C-Mace can help him. Maybe there was one in preseason. That may have been it.
Max, happy birthday, bud. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, see you tomorrow. Yep.
Max Hurich of the Predators Radio Network live at Predators Training Camp at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. We will be out there as well as the Chase and Big Joe show. Head on over there if you can. Practice is free and open to the public. Bundle up because you're not going to be in a temperature controlled room like we will. But I'm a man of the people, so I will be in the elements when I can. 615-737-1025. We will get back into the Titans conversation as they await the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan, 1025-1063 The Game.